welcome to the 20 Megabyte Doctor Who podcast. I'm Adam.
I'm Alicia.
And this is episode 52, and we're back on the Isle of Wight. My plans today were that we were going to get all three of us together to do the show.
But as per usual,
Alicia has other things to do. That are more important than the podcast. For once, the only chance we get of me, you, and Ben being together at the same time.
Well, there you go.
I'll tell you what.
What? Yes?
The next Monday is bank holiday, isn't it?
Yes.
I'll be with you next Monday.
Yeah, you said that last week when this was being.
No, because bank holiday's family day, isn't it?
Yeah, well, don't you think Ben might be with his family?
Yeah, but what other day are you going to do it?
Today would have been a good opportunity,
but
never mind.
Yeah, but how are you supposed to do it next week, then?
Well, probably won't be able to do it next week. That's what I'm saying. Today was the only opportunity.
So this is the Easter episode, Ben?
No, it's the episode to be released...
When's Doctor Who start, then?
On Saturday.
This Saturday?
Yes. This is why this week's episode is the last of the episodes where we review past Doctor Who, as in previous series Doctor Who, until the end of May when this series finishes, or this half of the series finishes. So we'll be just talking about, you know, the episodes that have just gone out as of next week. So this is the last time
which
we'll
is
be...
the astronaut one next week.
Yeah, the Impossible Astronaut, yes. 6 p.m. BBC One.
He actually knew the time. I thought it was 7 o'clock. Hold on.
6 o'clock.
Might have a rehearsal.
Well, that would be typical, but it doesn't matter, though, because I can watch the programme either
car.
On my phone or on my telly in the car. I found a very nice little spot in the countryside with the transmitters in full view, so I can actually get good reception on my little telly.
You've got a telly?
Yes. I've got a little portable, tiny little thing I've had for years.
Oh, that thing!
Yes, that thing.
I used to watch football in the bathroom with that.
Who did?
You did.
Did I?
When I was a kid. When I was little, you used to, when you were bathing me, you used to have it on the side watching football.
Okay. Anyway. Right, yes. Our sponsors are whoone.co.uk, and as we've been away from the island at the Who Blackpool shop, I think it might be a good idea...
Yes, we have. Yes.
...to have a look to see what... Well, I have anyway.
Has the fans seen like the pictures on Facebook of us at the Who shop?
I don't know. Possibly.
And Isabella as well.
Well, at least Isabella actually did help me out with. Later on, we'll be playing a little tour. Me and Isabella did a tour of the shop and recorded what was there. So that will be later on.
Oh, that's when I was in Primark
for 2 hours. Yes.
Yeah, Mum was in there as well. So don't lie.
Sorry.
So it wasn't just me. It was Mum as well.
Right, so Doctor Who shop, as in whoone.co.uk, have got coasters, Doctor Who coasters, with the logo that...
coasters?
Yeah, drinks coasters. The logo from the season 19 onwards.
They're
priced at £1.75 with £1
That's
postage.
That's quite cheap.
They've got Dalek Power shoulder bags. They look quite good at £19.99 plus £3 postage. Card holders, they're £2.49 plus the pound postage. And these new things, of which I've got
Dad, yes. You know the pictures of from the Who One shop? Did you put that on our group page? On our Facebook
page? Not the
Who
One shop, because I'm talking...
No, the Who shop.
Yes.
Did you put them on our Facebook page?
They're on my Facebook page, but stop...
No, why do you put them on our Facebook... On
some of them are.
Podcast.
Anyway, can I continue?
Facebook page.
Yes, the Dalek Progenitor Room Mini Set that Character Options have brought out, which is a bit like Lego, to be honest with you. I've got the TARDIS mini set at priced at £9.99, which you can get from whoone.co.uk.
What, the Lego one?
Plus £2.50 postage.
I wanted a Dalek.
But they also do a Dalek Progenitor room one, which I'm tempted
to
get.
Which is a white Dalek one, isn't it?
Yeah, we don't get the Doctor and Amy with that set, though. You only get the Doctor and Amy in the TARDIS set.
Good for kids, though, ain't it? Like Isabella's age and stuff.
Oh, is it especially for kids?
Yes.
No. Oh.
It's for Isabella's age to play with, because I can't play with the proper figures, because they're not old enough. That's why they brought it out.
Coming soon, the Companion Chronicles, 5.10, Sentinels of the New Dawn. From Big Finish. Dead of Winter, which is a book. Frontiers DVD, which is coming out on Well, it just says 2011. Doesn't give a date. I'm sure if you go to the Two Entertain website, they'll probably give you the actual date of the release. Can you do your makeup a little bit quieter, please? Mannequin Mania. That's coming out soon as well.
What's the To Entertain website?
To Entertain are the people that make the Doctor Who Classic Series DVDs and New Series DVDs.
Oh,
oh yes, indeed.
Well, come on, let me...
So that's whoone.co.uk, listeners. Our illustrious and very kind sponsors.
Yes.
So, Alicia, what have you been doing Doctor Who-wise this week?
Went to the Who shop and watched...
Went to the Who shop and said, come on, let's get a move on, this is boring, did you not?
No, that's what Mum said. Huh? I never said that.
Did you not?
No.
Right. Okay. Do you remember last week? Well, not last week, it was the week before, actually, when you sort of took the mickey out of me for watching the trailer.
Yes, you told me about this.
Right, the Kirby. Kirby posted on...
When we were on holiday in the car.
Can I finish? Kirby posted on our... This is Kirby Bartlett Sloane.
Which one's that?
The chap who... regularly contributes to our show via Skype.
Oh, him?
Yes. He contributed...
The one with the kids?
Yes. He contributed... Don't know if you saw what I posted onto my wall on Wednesday. Amusing 20 megabyte Doctor Who podcast 51. Alicia, what's the point, Dad? That's sad about Adams going through the latest trailer frame by frame. And then he said, shh, don't tell her I also went through the trailer frame by frame. And I said, you're right, I didn't see the one... But she's a bit silly sometimes. And then Reese Parton, happy birthday, Reese. Reese was 16 a couple of days ago.
16?
Yeah. It's Reese Parton.
He's... How old is he?
16, I think.
Is he?
Yeah, he got a new laptop for his birthday.
He is? That's a young person.
Anyway, and he said, that's it. She definitely is not a fan. Every fan does that. There you go, Alicia.
That's unfair. Yeah, but I noticed the silence before you did. It was at the beginning of the trailer, and you didn't even notice him.
Yeah, well, no comment.
See, I do have to watch it frame by frame. I see every character by frame without watching it frame by frame. And I saw that character very obviously, and you didn't see it when you actually watched it frame by frame.
One instance.
Yeah, so technically, I win.
You win, do you?
1-0.
Oh, dear, oh, dear, oh, dear.
Right, so. True!
Sorry?
It's true.
Is it?
Don't deny it.
Don't deny what? I'm not denying anything.
Yeah. Mm. I'm really worried, Dad. I don't know how to write this book with you.
Well, a good start would be to actually read a book. It wouldn't be a bad idea to read the book I wrote, as it's relevant to the time in your life. And I feel slightly insulted that you refuse to read it.
And I never felt this way.
Anyway, yes, on Facebook I posted a thing, which was this. Doctor Who...
It's about me.
Oh, will you ever let me finish a sentence?
All right.
Doctor Who on 6 p.m. time slot. What do you think? Rob Lansdowne said, it seems too early to me, but I suppose it might be better for getting younger children to watch. I keep forgetting that the show is not actually made for classic series fans like myself. I think it's made for everyone, so yes, you have to take the classic series fans into consideration.
You're a classic series fan, Dad.
I'm just a Doctor Who fan. Philip W. Cerner, matters less and less with time-shifting DVRs. That's when the last season taught the production team... Sorry, that's what the last season taught the production team. At least as a paraphrase of their words. And Christopher Lee Gallagher, to say... It's one of the Beeb's biggest shows. It seems a silly time slot. But as Adam points out, I think he actually means, as Rob points out, it's a good time to catch the kids. Actually, it was Rob who said that, wasn't it? Yeah. I remember watching Pertwee as a child, and I think it was on around the same time back then. Good point. Good point. Do you think that was a good point, Alicia?
I don't know. I wasn't born then.
Right, so let's see what we've got on the news front. They've had the screenings in Chicago of episodes 1 and 2.
Chicago.
Lucky so-and-sos.
Yeah, but they have it in this country as well. They do it with kids.
DoctorWhoNews.net has got video interviews with the cast.
Where's Isabella?
Downstairs. messing around with the dogs by the sound of things. And they've done a premiere party in Brooklyn. The Doctor Who cover, the Radio Times. Doctor Who is on the cover of the Radio Times.
They're in Fabulous magazine as well.
And
there's a whole page about it, but you can't bother to read it.
Really?
There, it was a whole page about the first episode, but no!
Well, I don't want to be spoiled too much.
The last episode. A middle episode. Whatever episode is where he wears a Stev.
A Stev? You mean a Stetson?
Yeah.
I might have to buy that issue of the Radio Times. Then there's a little thing that says, Radio Times has confirmed that the first episode of the new series of Doctor Who will be broadcast at 6 p.m. on Saturday, 23rd of April, which is going to be straight after... God's sake! What?
It's nearly your birthday.
Oh. Yes, so, and then it comes just before So You Think You Can Dance on BBC One that evening. The early start means the Doctor Who Confidential cannot follow directly from the end of Doctor Who. BBC Three's schedule begins from 7 p.m.
Yeah, but that's like when So You Think You Can Dance is on, and Britain has Got Talent's just about to come on.
Once again, not able to finish the sentence. Meaning some 15 minutes between the two. This may impact the Confidential's ratings. So
it will. Because they'll be watching either So You Think You Could Dance, See If You Can, and then after that, Britain's Got Talent.
What it doesn't say, though, Alicia, is that there was a rumour that episode 2 was going to go out the day after, on the 24th of April.
Well, but there's Sunday. Nothing.
Yeah, it doesn't. And if that was the case, then the finale would clash with our trip to take that on the 28th of May. So if that's not, if it's not going to be shown on consecutive days,
that's a rumor, man.
Then we will be able to see the finale. So that's good. The official BBC site has revealed that Cybermen are to return to the new series.
Good.
Yes, which has been confirmed in the new Radio Times as a mid-series finale. Is it every breath I make? I try and complete a sentence and you interrupt me. Mid-series finale, A Good Man Goes to War. Oh, we've got a title. I'll have to make a note of that one. A Good Man Goes to War, which is the episode 7, I would imagine, if it's the mid-series finale. And that's quite interesting, isn't it, Alicia? Look, we've got a picture here, look.
Another episode of the Cybermen, yeah.
I wonder if that's the new the Cybermen they're referring to in that picture.
I can't see. I've got my glasses. Come here.
Don't worry about it. Torchwood Miracle Day. BBC Worldwide Canada has announced a deal with Space, which will see Torchwood Miracle Day come to the channel this summer, along with a raft of other sci-fi titles such as Bedlam, Primeval and Outcasts.
I like Primeval.
And more BBC One interviews with Matt Smith and Karen Gillan. Day of the Moon press release. The BBC has released press details on the second episode of the new series, Day of the Moon, scheduled for transmission on, here we go, Saturday the 30th of April. So that's actually confirmed that it won't be on Sunday. Two Entertainer have announced a competition via Twitter for fans to contribute on commentaries for the final Seventh Doctor adventure to be released on DVD, Dragonfire, Happiness Patrol and Greatest Show in the Galaxy. In order to enter, fans should record and submit a question to the classic Doctor Who SoundCloud group, and the favourites chosen will be featured as recorded on related commentary. Full details are on our competitions page. So if you go to www.doctorwhonews.net, you should be able to find that somewhere, and if you want to enter that competition, there you go.
Dad, are you going to enter it?
Probably not, no.
Not?
Final curtain, Farewell to the Third Doctor. Two Entertain's classic Doctor Who have released a first look video on their YouTube channel to promote the forthcoming release of the Third Doctor's final story, Planet of the Spiders. That's one of my favourite stories of all time as well.
Save!
And their new trailer for Percival Planet, which I watched the other day and tried to watch it frame by frame. Didn't really glean much from it, I'm afraid.
Frame by frame.
Yeah, they've actually got a trailer for that episode rather than the whole series trailer.
I haven't seen it yet. Can you show me it in a minute?
Possibly. Executive producer Stephen Moffat will be guest on Graham Norton's Radio 2 show next Saturday, the 23rd of April, just a few hours before the launch of the new series. The show will have a clip from the first episode. The producers are asking for emails for Norton to put to Moffat during the programme.
Talking about...
Which can be sent to graham.norton@bbc.co.uk. And listeners, you might be to send those messages to Graham Norton, asking him not to interrupt any Doctor Who this year.
Actually, yes. Talking about Doctor Who, guess who was on Graham Norton's show?
David Tennant and Catherine Tate.
Promoting a new TV series, I think. They've got a new TV series coming out, film, something like that.
Something like that.
They're in something together.
Something like that, yes. Yeah. So there we go. That rather concludes the news for this week. So what do you think we should do next then, Alicia?
No clue.
How about not making banging noises? So, I think we should move on to our regular feature, as requested on Twitter when I said you were trying to get yourself out of doing
it. Well, I wasn't trying to get myself out of doing it. I'm just going to Fort Ness.
You're going where?
Fort Ness.
Fort Ness.
Yeah.
It's a Fort, actually. Was there a River Song character? No, little figure.
No, there's never been one. There's never been a figure.
Oh, that's interesting.
Just type that in.
No, I just saw a picture of a River Song figure. I don't remember seeing one.
I don't remember.
But anyway, right.
I swear there's never been a River Song figure.
Talking of figures, been some pretty good figures. What ones did I bring home with me? I bought the new Doctor with a Fez figure.
Yeah, which is your fourth Matt Smith figure?
Fifth, isn't it? I've got the one with him in his regeneration Tennant outfit. I've got one, the Raggedy Doctor one. I've got the most common Series 5 figure. How many is that? Three.
You haven't got the braces one?
No, I'm not sure.
I thought you did, but there you go.
And I've got the new Christmas special figure. Yeah, so you're right, it's four. Right.
How many David Tennant ones you get? Two, ain't it? Got two. Aye. You got one with the coat. We got one with the coat, one without. David Tennant figures.
I've got lots of David Tennant figures. More than I have of Matt Smith figures. One of my favourite ones is the regeneration figure.
What, the Christopher Eccleston one?
No, the regeneration figure that from just before he regenerated into Matt Smith when he's all damaged. The damaged Doctor.
The damaged Doctor. Yeah. I don't know.
I've also got him as the old and withered Doctor from. After the time was... Anyway, right, yes. What's going on with this? Computer's playing up again.
My two jabs go to...
Really weird, it's not doing what it's supposed to do, which makes my attempts to do this particular link rather difficult.
Link?
Yes. What's the other figures I got? There's quite a few I wanted
to
get.
You've got a Lego thing.
No, I did say what I got. I got the Christmas special figure and the Doctor with his Fez and Mop figure. But when I went to Forbidden Planet, they had a beautiful Master Delgado.
What's that?
The Master played by Roger Delgado figure with an axe on in the box. That made it rather expensive. There's so many lovely figures that are exclusive, and I really do think that Forbidden Planet are rather spoiling it for
Tesco's.
For Doctor Who fans, because... If you can only go to Forbidden Planet to get these beautiful figures, you know, it's unfair. Because
you got the website.
I know you have, but it's just... It seems a bit funny that the classic series figures are getting a bit few and far between now.
Yeah, because the new series is taken over again. Because when they had that year break, it was a chance to bring out all the classic series. But now it's back to the new series. They want to bring out all the new series stuff again.
Ow. You say so.
Yes.
I'm waiting for this thing to load up, and it's being very like you, Alicia.
Is it? That's nice.
Yeah, like you. Naughty. What was the other thing we saw in Toys R Us? Toys R Us currently have got a, what they call a flight control TARDIS with Amy in a police uniform and the Doctor in it.
Oh, yes!
For only $14.99, listeners.
Yeah.
Special offer at Toys R Us UK.
Go to the website and you'll probably find it.
So that was quite a good offer. And there's some really, of course, they've just got so many nice figures around. I mean, nobody can, unless you're really rich, can afford to buy them all. Right, we have eBay.
And you, actually, you don't have to be really rich unless you devote all your money to Doctor Who. Then you can't.
Well, that would be a nice scenario, wouldn't it?
Mum would probably kill you if you did that, Dad.
Not if I was a millionaire, she wouldn't. Anyway, right. So.
I'm a millionaire. I've got a job.
Right.
No, really, really, I've got a job. See, listeners wouldn't believe us. I've actually got a job.
A job that she doesn't particularly want to do because it interferes with her social life. Right.
£80 a week is not too bad.
The top listed item this week on eBay is Doctor Who L1 Tracker Robot Tank with a tank vehicle BBC real prop thing. That was the same as last week, I think. That's £5,500. There's a couple of those listed. One is a buy it now offer, and the other one is a classified ad offer. But the most expensive item with bids against it is David Tennant hand-signed Doctor Who script. And that's currently at £1,000 plus £10 postage for a Doctor Who script. I can't believe it costs that much to send a Doctor Who script through the post. Yeah, so that's quite interesting. It's not just signed by David Tennant. It's signed by a few people by the looks of the picture. And just below that, not got any bids against it, but there's a huge collection of Doctor Who figures, eBay's largest, 200.
Do you think our phone is... If
that's
phone
£1,000.
Do you think if our phone is a bell on the home line, what she'll answer?
She may well do, but I'm not going to do that.
Can I do it?
No. Number two in the bidded items list is Doctor Who pinball machine made by Williams. That's £900. That's got 10 bids against it.
Yeah, because so. pinball machines are cool. They're fun. Yeah.
And the third item, a unique life-size Doctor Who TARDIS stroke police box for sale. Proportions don't look particularly accurate in the picture, but it's still very nice. And that's listed at £580, and that's got 13 bids against it. And just below that, with no bids against it, Paul Matt Smith PS scroll shirt Doctor Who costume prop.
Yeah, but there's loads of them.
Yeah, but look how much they listed it for. £356.
I can get them from, like, a charity shop.
Absurd price, to be honest with you. So that rather concludes that part of the show. So, Alicia, now we move on to an episode of Doctor Who that you watched last night for review purposes, and that was what?
The Sun One.
What's the title?
A Sun One.
The title of it was 42.
Why is it called 42?
I don't know. Just take it away. 42, Alicia.
They're on a ship. It starts off with the Doctor, like, sorting out Martha's phone to get, like, all signal around the world. And stuff.
Mm-hmm.
And they land on this ship, which is boiling hot, like, really, like, a sauna kind of thing. And then... suddenly, all these people come out, like, ask you, who are you, and stuff. And Martha goes and looks out a window and sees that there's a sun, like a ball, there's a proper sun, and the ship's flying towards it. The Doctor wants to try and stop it, and they have to try and get to the engine rooms, but the engine rooms are blocked off because... I don't know, the ship went to lockdown because it was flying towards, it was going crash landing, or something like that. And then they get called to the medical centre, and there's this man, which is the captain's husband, called Corwin, or something like that, and he's just like having a fit and can't open his eyes because there's apparently something in it, and it burns. And he's just having a fit, and the Doctor's like trying to get it out of him. Then he shocks him and kind of like paralyzes him to go to sleep. And that. Then. They think that he's like asleep, but he ain't because he keeps moving his hands a lot. And the Doctor goes to the engine room with the captain and just starts talking about stuff. And it's a cargo ship, so they're like. Taking fuel from the sun, like from sun particles, and they're trying to get the engines working, but not working out that well. And then Corwin wakes up, and he's not Corwin anymore. He's this creature, and he's just saying to the nurse, saying, "Burn with me, burn with me." And then he burns her by opening his eyes and then, like, this blinding sunlight comes out of it. and burns her. And when they go to, then the doctor hears the scream over the, like the calling thing, whatever it is.
Intercom. And
they run there, and the doctor's like to the captain, stay here. She's like, no, I won't stay here, he's my husband. And they run there, and they see the, I think her name's Abby. Yeah, Abby or something like that. Like burnt out onto this wall, like it's just frazzled up. And then the captain's like, it can't be my husband, it can't be. And then she asks the doctor, is he still in there? And she's like, I need to know. He's like, no, there's no chance of him being in there anymore, he's been taken over. Or something like that. And the creature is only interested in the captain, and she doesn't know why. He's always saying, it's your fault. It's your fault why the ship is crashing, it's your fault. And they don't know why he's saying that. And by this time, Martha and this other person who comes from Waterloo Road, and he's the deputy head of Waterloo Road, but I don't know what the actor is.
Okay, yeah. Well, I don't know either, but yeah.
Yeah, but yeah. And they're trying to get through, like, to the control room, but the questions that were made up, they made up when they were drunk, so they don't know what the answers are. So the first question, I don't know what it was, but that goes on for a bit. And then Corwin kills another person, this another engineer assistant person, kills her. And then he finds the main engineer person, and he says, we must share the light, and burn, like, fuzzles out his head, kind of thing.
Nice.
Yeah. Fuzzles out his brain. You know that time when... I think this happened before. Oh, yeah, you know when the Daleks in Doomsday? Yeah, Doomsday? I think so, yeah. You know when the Daleks got their plungers and squeezed his head?
Yeah,
like that. But frazzled, kind of thing.
Oh.
Yeah. Okay. And frazzled his head, and, like, that makes him share the light. So then it cuts back to Martha's trying to find that the question is who had the most number ones, Elvis or Michael Jackson,
mm-hmm.
or something like that. Yeah, I think it's Michael Jackson. Yeah, and then she phones up her mum because she's got a phone and it's just like multiple signal. You can never run out of signal. And she phones up her mum. They start talking, then she's like having a go at her, and it's quite funny because she goes, "Oh, just do it!" And the man's just looking at her like, "Whoa!" And she like had a little smirk. And she goes, "The mum's like, oh, you're so rude, Martha. Where's this rudeness come from?" And then it's from the doctor or something like that. Because this is the episode after the butcher called it the scorpion one. What's it called? The
unicorn and the wasp?
No, the scorpion one. The one with the bones and the face. The one who writes stories for Doctor Who all the time. The actor.
The actor? Mark Gatiss.
Yeah, that Gatiss. Story. Yeah.
Mark Gatiss.
Yeah, that story.
I don't know which one you mean.
Yeah.
Lazarus.
Lazarus project. Yeah. Yeah, this is just a story after that. So okay. Martha's mum wants to find out who this doctor person is and stuff. And she knows it's Janger. So she gets onto the computer and finds out that it's Elvis or something like that. Yeah, Elvis. And then they hear a dreadful scream over the voice thing. And someone getting frazzled, obviously. And yeah, and then Martha's like, I've got to go, and hangs up on her mum. And then they open a few doors, and the doctor, oh yeah, then the captain finds Corwin, and he's like, it's your fault, it's all your fault, this is why we're crashing. And he's like, you will burn with me. And then this other person freezes him, like, proper freezes him. And he's like, "Oh, you killed him. You killed him." And she still can't. She's like, he recognised me. He recognised me because he goes, "My wife?" Then he gets frozen to death. I'm stuck.
Once again, I can't help you because I haven't seen it. For ages.
Yeah. I remember. Oh, yeah. The other person, I forgot his name, is chasing Martha and his other dude. And the only way they can escape is they hid in an escape pod. But then he hacks the codes and they can't escape it.
Have we gone up to my favourite bit so far, which I do remember, the bit where the Martha's trapped in this pod that's just floating away from the ship, and the doctor's shouting, "I'll save you!"
We'll just get into that.
Oh, sorry.
God, and then the doctor turns up, because they've just locked it, so they can't get out, they can't do anything, the codes are locked down.
Where's the TARDIS?
I don't know. I forgot. And then, it's on lockdown, so they can't go anywhere at all. And is stuck there, and the doctor's like, "Who are you? Tell me who you are." And Stuffy's like, then he just goes, burn with me, and he gets frozen because the other guy's just got frozen, so he's getting affected by it. He collapses. Well, he doesn't collapse. Well, he does collapse, and he gets back up, and he just walks past the doctor, and Martha's just banging on the window like, "Doctor! Doctor!"
Don't tap on the desk, really.
And then
is this the bit where he says, "I'll save you"?
He's like, "Save you."
Yeah, but he's going, you can see him, I'm shouting, "I'll save you." And then you just see, because there's obviously just no silence, him sort of mouthing the words at the window, "I'll save you." I thought it was really superb, that bit. I loved it. Go on. Sorry, I'm interrupting.
Yeah, if you get what I mean. And then Martha's flying off into the distance, like, ooh.
With Martha's theme playing over there, yeah. Martha's theme plays over background on that bit, doesn't it?
No clue. But you get what I mean. Yeah, so just flying away like, yes, fly away. Then she phones a bit later. She phones up her mum and has an emotional talk to her. But halfway through, her mum goes, "Let's talk about the doctor." And then you see behind her, there's like this woman recording the conversation.
Right.
And
oh yes, I know what you're talking about. That's we're Saxon.
Yeah.
Carol Saxon's
PA kind of person. Yeah, and she's like talking to her. Which like I got to go by. And then she goes and cries into this other person's arms, like, "Hoo-hoo-hoo." And then the doctor goes to the two other people who are still alive, saying, "I will go out and save her." So he gets his on his suit like he wore in the Devil's Pit.
Satan Pit.
Yeah, Satan Pit. Mm-hmm. Gets on his suit and he climbs out the airlock, and the sun's beating down on him, and he's like, "I can't do it, I can't reach it." And they're like, "No, you can, Doctor, you can do anything, come on." And then he gets it back, and then when he climbs back in, he looks into the sun, and it's like, he goes, "It's alive, the sun is alive." And that's when the sun gets into him as well, and Martha and the other bloke comes out, and he's there. The doctor's like in pain because he can't fight it, and he's like telling him to take him to the med bed, and when he gets there, he says, turn on to the freeze to 200, and then he goes to Martha, "I'm scared, I'm so scared," and she goes, "It's okay," and sends him into the freezing thing. And then all of a sudden, like halfway through, it cuts off because Corwin came back alive, because we thought it was dead, came back alive and turned it off. So the captain said, "I'll deal with it," and ran to wherever. Yeah, she ran there, and then she tries and gets it. Then she runs into the escape pod. Well, not really. Yeah, escape pod. And then she's like, to the crew, she goes to the crew, "I'm sorry," and then flies away into the sun with her husband. Yeah. And then the doctor's like, "Martha, go to the whatchamacallit station," goes to the, like, the station where they're going to fix it and stuff and say, drop all the fuel, we have to drop all the fuel. Just to tell him to drop all the fuel. And then at this point, the two chaps are like, answering the question. He goes, what's your favourite colour? Purple. Then 5 minutes later, he goes, well, maybe it's orange. He's like, come on! And then they get through, and they're trying to sort it up, and it doesn't work. And Martha turns up, as she's running, the doctor's like, Martha, burn with me. Burn with me, Martha. And then she runs even more. And then she gets the ship, and then she's like, drop all the fuel, that's what Dr. told me to do it, just do it. And they drop all the fuel into the sun, and then the ship powers up again, and they fly away. And then it's just about to burn the doctor up, but at the last minute it kind of goes back, because they've dropped all the fuel away, so he's all right now. So, the doctor's all right, and then the Doctor and Martha have an emotional hug. And then they go back into TARDIS. And the Martha is like to his chap, which she was in the airlock thing with, and kisses him. And she's like, I found my perfect match, and blah, 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 blah. And then she's like, you probably will never see me again. And then goes off into the TARDIS and flies away. Well, yeah, flies away. But then what happens is, yeah, well, the phone call, this is the first phone call, then she phones them again when she's in the TARDIS, and she's like, oh, I'm like a man for dinner. What day is it? Election day. So this is when the Saxon person comes along, and he's like, election day. So, and then at the end of the phone call, she said, the Saxon woman's like took in the phone. I said, is that all? And she's like, yes, Andrew, Mr. Saxon will be very pleased. And she goes, have you voted? And she's like, no, I'm not going to tell you who it is. She goes, oh, you better vote for Saxon. And walks off with, like, the phone and her laptop and stuff. So it's like getting inkling, like, ooh, who is this mystery Saxon person? Who is he? What does he want with Martha's family and stuff? And that's how the episode ends.
Cool. Thank you, Alicia. So what did you think of it, then?
Very good. Yeah.
You like that one, do
you?
Yeah. As we record, here we are, on the 18th of April, it's David Tennant's 40th birthday.
Aww.
And just as much as no other podcasters listen to this show, hence we've had no feedback regarding the top 20 Doctor Who podcasts that we do, so obviously we haven't upset anyone's because they don't listen. Which is fine. I don't mind if no other podcasters listen to our show.
I thought the puppy one listens to us.
TARDIS Tavern now, I don't think they listen to us anymore.
Why not?
Because they're busy doing podcasts and working and stuff.
Oh. Alright.
No, I don't think any of them do. No, they used to listen to us, all the other podcasts. But we have got quite a lot of listeners, so that's fine. But you just like to be listened to as well by your
colleagues.
You know, well, yeah, because I listen to a lot of Doctor Who podcasts, and it, you know, like Radio Free Scaro and
Podchuck.
Yeah, but it's quite funny though. My favourite podcasts, which are obviously Bigger on the Inside and Podchuck and Happiness Patrol. What's the other one I just mentioned?
Radio Free Scaro.
And Staggering. None of them actually listen to this show.
No.
Well, there you go. Anyway, yes, so David Tennant's 40th birthday. He
doesn't Happy birthday, David!
Doesn't listen to the show either. So, yes, it's very nice indeed.
Happy birthday, David.
There was one other thing.
Think about it, Dad. Dad, that's all right. It's quite a good birthday present this year because it's his 40th birthday. He's got a daughter.
Yeah.
Oh.
The other thing I forgot to mention that was in Forbidden Planet, which was really, really good, and I wish I could have bought, was the Third Doctor's Sonic Screwdriver.
Oh, yeah, she told me about that.
Wish I could have bought that. It was lovely.
How much was it?
£19.99.
Is it on the website?
Probably.
Okay. We're good.
But I think
it's your birthday in a few weeks.
Yeah, I'm not likely to get that, am I? Because none of you lot went to. Anyway, I've got other things coming on my birthday. I don't think so, the Third Doctor Sonic.
At least you know what you want for your birthday. I don't have no clue.
Talking of Radio Free Skara, they're celebrating their 250th episode this week.
Wow!
So congratulations to them. Although I'm saying they're not even listening, but congratulations.
Dino. What episode? How many episodes have we done by my birthday?
No idea. Why do you want to know that?
Because I want to know.
Anyway, right, so we've rather come to the end of this particular feature of the show, unless you can think of anything else to say.
Alicia, I want loads of birthday messages.
Yeah, your birthday's not for another 2 months.
Yeah, people can get prepared. You can send me cards if you want me to. If
they didn't last year, so they're not likely to do it this year.
They didn't know me last year. They didn't know me last year. We didn't
know you this year. You're hardly ever on the show.
When will we start doing this podcast?
On the 12th of May.
May?
As in my birthday last year.
We did it in May?
Yes. It was...
Because we can't.
Began on my birthday, because that's when I had all the relevant equipment to do it on.
We did.
Yes. Anyway.
Hold on, how come I didn't get any cards last year from them lot?
Why would you?
Because I'm special.
It's time, I think, to move on to the next link on the show.
How many friends have you got on Facebook, Dad?
I haven't checked for ages.
I've got 400 or something.
I'm being followed by 142 people on Twitter, though. Is that relevant?
I've been followed by 6.
What, on Twitter?
Yeah.
You don't really go on Twitter very often.
No, I think it's boring.
It's not boring.
No, until they shut down Facebook, I'm not going on Twitter.
That's where if you actually go on Twitter, it's actually quite good. You keep up to date with all sorts of celebrity gossip, etc., etc.
That's nice. Oh my god, Dad, did you watch Michael McIntyre and Bits Got Talent?
Yes.
He's funny, wasn't he?
Well, my current status on Facebook is recording with Alicia right now, and I've already had comments on that, and that's Christopher D. Gallagher says, silence will not fall.
Oh, let's talk about the silence person.
Go on then, you talk about your thoughts on the new series.
Okay. You know the silence person? He reminds me of a dwarf alien. Like a Martian. A dwarf Martian who looks like a skeleton.
You mean he looks like a ice warrior? Because they were ice warriors with Martians, weren't they?
No, okay.
And we had Waters of Mars. They were all Martians, weren't they?
Shush. Okay. You know your classic alien head?
My classic alien?
No, you know what people think what aliens look like. The classic alien, what it looks like the big, huge forehead and the small chin kind of thing.
No, we're going on.
You know what they look like? You know I had that massive alien from Cow's Week? That green alien.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, you know the head of that?
The inflatable alien.
Yeah, you know the head of that?
Yeah.
Well, you know the silence head looked like that, but it looks skeleton more like. Don't
okay,
it?
Okay, if you say so.
Yes. It reminds me of a Sycamac head, but more like an alien shape head.
Alright.
Yeah, you get what I mean?
Oh, yeah, I suppose so, yes.
A Sycamac head. Yeah. That's what it reminds me of, but he looks like a bit of a dwarf to me. He looks like a bit of an Oompa Loompa. He might be an Oompa Loompa. Depends how tall he is. He looks like he's wearing like a... kind of like a Star Wars-y kind of suit.
Okay.
At least I think it was. Show me the picture again.
No!
Yes!
I'm just seeing if I can talk to Wendell.
Is that the one who speaks funny?
Funny.
You're gonna kill me for that, aren't you? You're the one who makes fun of him. Can you cut that bit out? Lee.
Let me
type this. Oh, yeah, you can play about me going on a computer. God!
Yeah, but mine's relevant to the programme.
So is mine. I'm getting my friend's view and not who. You just never give me the chance to say what their views are. Isabella, come up here! Oh, I need choked. Isabella!
Who is it?
Come here.
Who is it?
Come here. Your daddy's up here. Daddy wants to see you.
I just said to Wendell, hi, Wendell, we're recording the show right now. Is there anything you'd like to say to Alicia? You just said, is that the woman that speaks funny? He goes, huh?
Don't write long. Yeah. Hello, Isabella. He's now crawling along the floor. You right? I'm recording the show. Do I say anything? Go on, Ed.
He says, she was talking about me. Tell her I said hello, I suppose.
Hello.
Which I do it in a Wendell voice, and I can't because I haven't got enough of a croak. And she should watch Doctor Who.
I do watch Doctor Who. I watched some last night, thank you very much. Who's Wendell?
You're going to get us into trouble, you aren't.
You're going to edit out this bit?
No.
Oh, sorry.
Hello, Isabella. What have you been doing downstairs?
Watching telly.
Watching telly?
Anything Doctor Who?
No.
Have you been playing with your Doctor Who figures?
She hasn't got any Doctor Who figures.
Shush, shush. Wendell's predictions for the new series are that it's going to be scary and Omega is coming. Thank you for interrupting me with that cough. That Omega is coming back.
Still got that cough.
She hasn't coughed all day until now.
I'm just going to write Omega. In 6 p.m. time slot.
What's your best time slot suggests that it's not...
Shush, interrupting. 6 p.m. time slot suggests it's not as scary as expected. What did you ask them?
Just to spell my name.
You want to spell your name? Well, you can't on the computer.
Well, I like to.
Those dolls creep me out.
Yeah, same! I'm like that clown.
No, Isabella, please.
I'm that clown.
Don't get me off.
Say the clown freaks me out.
I don't want you to get me off.
Isabella, can you tell me what you did this week to do with Doctor Who?
Wendell says you're clever sometimes.
Why am I clever? Why am I clever? Oh, yeah, I got a 6C in my English exam. I got a 6C and a level K. No one proud of me. Fine. I got my target grade. Fine, nobody cares.
No, that's right. Very, very true. Your target grade on interrupting podcasts and not reading books you've been
allocated.
Set a task to read and allocated to whatever, yes.
So you said a really big word then, Dad.
Yeah, whatever. Anyway, I've got to get going. I've got to prepare this show for further links and Ben.
Ben.
You said to Wendell, why am I clever? And he said, for saying about the dolls, although I would agree about talking funny. I would argue about talking funny. There are times her accent is so thick I can't make out what she's saying.
That's a lie.
That's because she mumbles.
Will you stop arguing about me? I know you love me and everything, but there you go.
So you're speaking clearly then, but sometimes when you do in your reviews, you go, didn't on this occasion, but you go,
you're trying to get over and done with.
No, we don't want it to be over and done with. She does indeed. That's okay, though. She's still nice.
Oh, bless him!
Creep.
You're acting like a teenager. How old are you?
Anyway, we better tie up this link.
Link? Hey, hey, where the monkey is? Where's the fucking world? We're too busy seeing.
I'm just signing off for you. Cheers, Wendell. Say hi to all the Jewelmans for us.
What's the Jewelmans?
That's him and his family. Right, that's it then, Alicia. I think I need to set up things for...
Ben!
For Ben, yes. So it's a shame you couldn't be bothered to...
No, Ben loves me.
To actually partake in a bit of...
Ben does love me, don't he?
No, because you're never involved.
Because he misses me.
Right, that's it. Say goodbye.
Oh, no, I need to start.
Come on.
What?
Why does everything always take so long with you?
Because I'm cool like that.
I said say goodbye.
Ooh, what's that do?
Just say goodbye, for God's sake.
Bye!
Hello, Ben.
Hello, Adam.
It's nice to hear you again.
Yeah, it's nice to be back. How was your holiday?
The bits that didn't involve standing around shops for hours on end were pretty good.
Right, so not much of a holiday, more of a shopping trip then.
Yeah. 2 hours in Primark on Wednesday, another hour in there on Thursday.
You don't want that on your holiday, you want to be hitting the beach.
Well, the girls want it, obviously.
Blackpool, Pleasure Beach, or whatever it's called, not the troping around
promenade
standard
was,
clothes shops.
Yeah, the promenade was being dug up, though, unfortunately, so it wasn't sort of really conducive. So I couldn't really do that one, unfortunately.
Yes.
What did you get up to during the week off?
Do you know the most impressive thing I did?
No.
In the last fortnight, I got kicked out of Thorpe Park.
Yes.
Yes, I got escorted. I got escorted from the park by three burly security men.
And this was because
there was a fracas in the queue line between some little, well, I'll say little, some chap and myself. Do you want to know the full story? I'll do it briefly.
Go on, then.
I'm queuing for an hour and 40 minutes for their new ride of Storm Surge, me and my little 10-year-old daughter. When this chap blatantly just pushed in right at the front of the queue, right in front of us, I've been queuing for an hour and 40 minutes, and I'm like, mate, you're not jumping in there. He's like, yes, I am. I'm like, no, you're not. So I did the responsible thing of calling over one of the Thorpe Park members of staff. The bloke realised I'd done that and started like trying to elope out the line, not elope, trying to get out the line, and you know, before he got caught and kicked out the park for queue jumping. At that point, he turned around and called me a very rude word, one that ladies don't even like, beginning with.
I know that city fan. That was it, wasn't it?
It was something along the lines of that. which I took quite quite a lot of exception to, being called that in front of my daughter. So I walked over and I was going to have a quiet little word with him and just say, mate, if you say that again, I'm going to put your head through the wall. You know, nice and calmly.
Yeah.
But he pushed me, so I pushed him, and we had a little bit of a pushing match. And then someone in the queue line said I hit him, which, to be honest, because I'm 6'3" and like 13 and a half stone, last time I checked, so I'm probably about 15 now, and he was about 5'6" and scrawny. If I had have hit him, he'd have still been lying there now. But anyway, they decided that it was my fault, even though his queue jumped and sworn at me and physically abused me, and so I got kicked out as well.
Sounds politics, really, isn't it?
Well, they had to get rid of us both. They couldn't just get rid of one.
No, that's fair enough.
You know, even though I phoned up and said, and that person said it was his fault, that person, you know, they're like stupid people, aren't they? Stupid people.
Right, so, Doctor Who, yeah. Now, do you remember last week, well, it wasn't last week, it was the week before, we set upon both of us a task to watch The War Machines.
Yeah.
Now, I did take it away with me.
Yeah.
And I did lay it under a proposition that I might get an opportunity to watch it while I was away.
Yeah.
But I was outvoted 2-1. No, that's actually 3-1 on use of the DVD player. The only time I would have got to use it was about 10:30 at night, by which time I was probably a little bit too tired to watch it. And therefore, I didn't get a chance to watch it.
You haven't watched it?
No. Did you?
Well, let's just say I started watching it last night but fell asleep.
Ah. Now, the good thing about our listeners is we've got Robert Haynes.
We have, yes.
Now, Robert very kindly did watch it, therefore, and I have seen it before, so I can sort of remember a bit. So, and I've got another reason why I should have perhaps thought of not doing it now and doing it at a later date. That is because Kenneth Kendall, who is in War Machines, lives locally and is quite a friendly chap, and might be pliable to doing an interview at some point in the future. Not necessarily about Doctor Who, because he's had very little connection with the Doctor, apart from a cameo that he did in War Machines, and also the fact that he was the newsreader that reported on the BBC the departure of Tom Baker, and he features on DVD extras for that. But being that he's the first ever newsreader on British television, and he knows about the BBC at the time that Doctor Who first went out, I thought it would be quite interesting at some point, if I can persuade him to do an interview with him in relation to the BBC and little bits and pieces to do with Doctor Who, etc., etc.
I concur, that would
so,
be interesting.
With that in mind, it probably would be better.
Be better to do
War Machines on, as a sort of set task. But obviously, we've got a new series coming up. We won't have any Classic Who to review until June.
What an abject failure this has been. The last Classic Who review that we're going to do for 7 weeks.
But fortunately,
bother watching.
We've still got Robert's feedback. So I did send you some emails. Did you catch your emails?
I have got my emails. I'm just copying and pasting them as we talk, so I can put them in a bigger font, so I can actually read. I've only just woken up. My eyes aren't working yet. And my voice isn't very good either. But, yeah. What would you like first, then? Should we start?
I think we'll go Robert first, and then we can sort of both chip in with comments. Have you actually seen War Machines before?
I have, yeah.
At least you've seen it before, so you might jog your memory on a couple of issues.
Yeah, I mean, I must say as well, when I was watching it last night, I was watching it on one of these internet sites that people upload things to, yes. And normally they're in 10-minute chunks. So obviously the episodes being about 25 minutes long, you normally have three parts to an episode. Unfortunately, last night when I was watching it, the middle chunks... excuse me.
Sounded like the Wendell for a minute, then.
So, thank you very much. The middle chunks of all the episodes were missing, so I saw part 1, part 3, part 4, part 6, part 7, part 9. So I did miss out 10 minutes of the middle of every episode as well, so it really was an abject
failure. Well, in fact, the version that originally went out on video was a shorter version than the reconstructed version that went out on DVD. They actually sort of added extra bits, or had extra bits they were able to insert to the previously released version, so that doesn't really matter, I suppose.
Well, not in the fact that I missed big bits anyway, but anyway, should we...
Yes, move on, yes. Robert Haynes.
Hi, Adam, Ben, Alicia and Isabella. Well done on your 50th show last week, / a fortnight ago. Yes, congratulations on your 52nd show, Adam. Well done. That's from me. I just thought I'd send my thoughts and ramblings on the War Machines. It's probably one of the better Hartnell stories coming at the end of the third series, and only two stories towards the end of his Doctor.
I would agree.
It's based on an idea by Kit Pedler, originally developed by BBC Starfighter Pat Dunlop, who is uncredited, in brackets, before being given to Ian Stuart Black. It received a rating of about 5 million an episode. The post office tower had been completed in July 65, oh, I remember it well, and script editor Jerry Davis could see this from where he lived in London, which is why it ended up being featured. I reckon that it's a pretty cool-looking building, and it's memorable for... me being knocked over by the twinkles in
in the goodies. Yes,
the goodies.
So Jeff from the Goodies podcast, we mentioned the goodies on the show.
Goodies,
goody, goody, goody. Yum.
Right, where do we get to? We got to there. Yeah, I actually thought, just before we go on too much more with Robert's thing, it was interesting using the post office tower, because it was kind of like used in the same way as Canary Wharf was used in the David Tennant episodes.
Yeah.
Wasn't it? It was kind of like a iconic feature in London. Let's pretend aliens live there.
Oh, yes. Oh, yes, indeed. I hadn't really thought of that, but yes, indeed. That is pretty spot on. Good call, that.
Oh, thanks. Big smile on my face there.
Well done.
I did that.
Ben, still, sorry, well, since you mentioned about the goodies and then the kitten making it fall over, it's sort of, I just had to add my mind. I'd rather sidetrack me from the story, just sort of chuckling to myself within my mind, you know. About the kitten.
When the Doctor and Dodo first look at the tower, Doctor Who says, and that was the other weird thing about
it. Because he was called Doctor Who in it.
He kept on calling him Doctor
Wotan.
Who. Yeah, instead
That's
of...
the thing, right? Wotan is one of the rare things in the universe that knows the Doctor's actual name. So, maybe that is really his name, Doctor Who.
It may be. It may be.
We'll
have to go and have a look at his surgery door. Anyway, when the Doctor and Dodo first look at the tower, Doctor Who says, "There's something alien about that tower. I can scent it," instead of sense it. bless this little Hartnellism. It's nice to see a contemporary setting, the only Hartnell story other than Planet of the Giants, and various little bits such as the beginning of an...
interrupt, like Alicia does, but Hartnell actually said scent it.
I think he said sent it, yeah, he didn't say
sent it. It's funny, that might be just a Time Lord thing, because Time Lords have got very special senses of smell, haven't they? So they maybe actually meant to say it.
Or it might just be that he was old and said the wrong word.
No, I prefer to have my views on it. But carry on, yes, sorry.
Where were we? An unearthly child and Ian and Barbara in the chase, the end. And Eke Wills, is that right?
Annika Wills.
That's not how you spell Annika. Robert, that's not how you spell Annika. Well, it might be how you spell it this way, but that's not how I'd spell it. Annika Wills was 24 at the time and married to the late celestial toy maker Michael Gough then, who only three stories ago had appeared It would appear. Sorry, there's a full stop there.
She'd also been married to Anthony Newley as well. Interesting fact that's got nothing whatsoever to do with what we're talking about.
Got around. Wills had, in 1965, been previously auditioned for the role of Susan.
True.
I didn't know that. I thought the Doctor and Dodo had pretty quick and easy access to the post office tower and Wotan. Is that it?
Yes.
From the get-go. Funny how Wotan starts up his trouble when Doctor Who and Dodo arrive and all the plans go into action. That's because he could sense the Doctor.
Yes.
One thing that is never explained is how Wotan knows what the initials TARDIS stand for. Yeah, that was never explained.
Well, that's the point. He knows that Wotan knows everything in the universe, actually, including the Doctor's name, or who he calls Doctor.
Why didn't they ask him that, then?
I don't know.
Wasn't the Inferno nightclub really cool, hip and happening? It was.
It was, yes.
Like, really weird.
Anybody who thought they've gone back to 1966 and sort of researched what clubs looked like at the time and sort of recreated one in the studio.
It was just bizarre, though. Wasn't it? Having, like, such a happening swinging 60s, cool cat night spot going on. And then you had William Hartnell walking into it. And yeah. At that point, wouldn't you have thought that was rather like someone's dad entering the house party when he was unexpected? Because, yes. You know, it would have been like, what is he doing here? He's triple all of our age. Well, he looks it, even though obviously he's 9 billion years old or whatever.
Yeah.
And so, yeah, all the kids in the club would have been like, hey, Grandad, what are you doing here? And it would have been like, well, I'm going to translucentize your hub and ding-long. At which point they'd have probably glassed him.
Yeah.
Anyway, nearby, where are we? Sorry. Love the dance. Did we even see the Doctor Who in there? Yes, we did. A nice early prototype of the internet. That's very, yeah, true, actually.
Yeah.
I thought that.
Yeah.
Press conference describing Wotan, linking up with other computers worldwide. I did think, ooh, early internet. How interesting.
Yeah.
At the end of episode one, we have the first instance of the Doctor being called Doctor Who. Doctor
yeah.
Who is
our first and last, with an actual. Story, or the actual framework of the story. I think he was called it in the title of the Silurians, Doctor Who and the Silurians, but within actual sort of dialogue, that's the only time he was actually called it within the TV series Doctor Who.
Well, there was those the people who run Wotan who were calling him Doctor Who as
well. Yeah, I know, that's what I meant, but within that frame, that actual story was the only story in which he was actually called Doctor Who, rather annoyingly. I mean, all the stories that were actually sort of lost in the archives, it probably would have been better to lose a story that called the Doctor Doctor Who than some of the others, which you know, he did.
It really changed the whole feel of it for me.
Yeah, it did. It ruined it a little bit for me, I must admit. I mean, it is a pretty good story, but that does sort of, it makes, sets your teeth on edge every time you hear them.
It's kind of like, what are you saying that for? What, yeah. Doctor Who? No, it's the Doctor. What's wrong with you?
I'd like to have known who managed to let that slip all the way through to not just production and scripts and whatever, script everywhere, I suppose, isn't it? But the producer should have known that even the Sidney Newman was still alive at the time. It's just a complete and utter cock-up.
It is, absolutely, because, you know, if you were going to do it in one episode, you do it in the first episode of the first series. You don't do it in episode 19, what has it been, 20?
Especially when, you know, the whole crux of the whole thing is you don't know who he is. You don't him Doctor Who.
And then people referring to him like he's a common, you know, like he's common knowledge to everybody, and it was just wrong. Just wrong!
Yes.
A bit of violence fighting in the club with Ben and Polly's admirer. Yeah, that was kind of like me at Thorpe Park. It's due to a lot of violent scenes. It was censored in Australia and New Zealand. I did also think that, actually, as I was watching it, that, you know, you don't see that in Doctor Who episodes, actually, you know, people proper fighting.
Mm.
You know, you get the image and the impression that they're doing it, but not a full-out brawl.
No.
Anyway, Elite Studios, he says, made for a pretty convincing warehouse. Although the idea for pronouncing Wotan as Wotan, because of its name coming from the Germanic name for the chief Anglo-Saxon god.
He's done his research.
This is just doing my
outstanding. I think I really am paling in insignificance when it comes to my reviews.
But as it's just an... we should just do his every week.
Yeah.
As it's just an initialism, surely it should just be Wotan. Well, not if you're German, then you say Wotan. I thought it was funny when the War Machine's first tests weapon, it fires and misses the man, yet he falls down dead anyway. There's poor continuity with the numbering of the war machine that Menace...
Yeah, I noticed that, yeah. If I'd watched it, I would have mentioned about the numbering system. That was all crap.
I'm sure you would have done that, yeah.
It was very blatant, wasn't it?
3.5 pages more than likely. So luckily that Rob's done it for us. All he writes is with his number switching between 3 and 9. Job done.
Yeah.
It's interesting to note that director Michael Ferguson, no relation to Alex Ferguson, held the sucker arm at the end of the Dalek, really, making him the first Dalek scene. Mm. He later directed The Ambassadors of Death, which saw a lot of fighting like the action scene in this story. There's also not much music throughout the story. No, there's not. Quite a contrast when compared with New Who.
Did you notice, actually, before? I don't know, he probably didn't notice, but Mike Reed had a sort of, not a cameo, but he was playing an extra soldier in it. But he clearly recognised Mike Reed, you know, because he's got quite a distinctive face. But
which Mike Reed are you talking about? The
Mike Reed from EastEnders.
Or Mike Reed from EastEnders. Oh, come on, my pal, I love you,
yeah, that one.
I love you,
yeah. He played an extra as a soldier, but clearly recognised him. Yeah, they had another like a close up on his face at one point during the story.
That must have been in one of the parts of the story that missed out on file sharing. Not file sharing, that's illegal. We wouldn't do that. File watching website. Anyway, yes. The battle between war machines and the army is almost a prototype of the kind of action we'd like to see with UNIT. Dodo received very poor send off after her.
Yeah, well, she was a very poor companion, so a poor send-off was probably quite appropriate.
She's sent somewhere to rest. She's not seen from the end of episode 2 and is informed by Polly that she's decided not to continue her travels with the Doctor at the end of the episode 4. It sounds like my working life, that. You're not... You're fine. She only really had four whole... Yeah, she didn't have a lot, did she? Yeah, she only really had four stories.
Not her fault, just wasn't very good. I suppose it was her fault, anyway.
Well, maybe it was the way she was written,
Maybe so.
From the end of the massacre and only the 2 episodes of this story, the war machines are pretty crap enemies. Oh, censored language. Too bulky and slow.
No, I've already used that in this episode, but we're all right.
War machines?
No, that crap.
Oh, 3 times! They speed up the film technically under cranking to make the war machines appear to be moving at one point, moving faster. Mm. So we know otherwise. They need a lot of room to manoeuvre. If you just snipped the magnetic tape on its outside, they'd be stuffed. Yes, that's quite true, actually.
Yeah.
Before the war machine is captured, Doctor Who goes into the workman's tent, which is magically bigger inside than out. I think we know that theory. Doctor Who has to stoop to enter, yet has plenty of room to stand inside. The war machine does well to get to the top of the post office tower, doesn't it? Wow, I think that's probably in there, wasn't it? A bit of poetic justice when it ends up destroying Walter. Sorry, Walter. Some nice ideas in this story and some good action. It was great to see a contemporary Hartnell story. It's one that I don't mind re-watching, which is more than I can say about something like The Web Planet. Been looking up about the new series, lots of things. Oh, he goes on about that new redesigned Cybermen in Egyptian tombs, Cybermats. Oh, yeah, they're back, aren't they?
Yep.
We've seen them in February.
We've been talking about the up and coming series in a few moments. So, where do we get up to?
We got up to the word. That's it. Robert's email was saying, been looking up some stuff about the new series. Lots of things brought up. We've done that bit, haven't we? Like Cybermen redesigned and Cybermats. Something to do with cloning, the Doctor's wife featuring a physical embodiment of the TARDIS. Sontarans at the end of episode 11, are there? If you look at the trailer for the series, you can see tally marks. Like when you make 4 marks across to make 5. Oh, yeah, on Amy.
Oh, yeah, that's right, yeah.
And there's a photo of Arthur as well with tally marks on him, too.
Yeah.
Maybe.
Which rather cleverly nearly leads on to obviously the next subject, which is a forthcoming series. But I think just a sort of little interim, has Robert's email finished now?
No, he's still got...
Oh, carry on. Sorry, I didn't mean to interrupt him.
Yards to go.
No, go on then. You carry on.
Apparently there's a new toy being released this year called a Resurrection Casket, or Casket, I suppose. Nice. If you know
that. That name rings a bell.
Interesting. Does the Doctor get shot and need resurrecting? Yeah.
No, but the resurrection casket, that's... That's been in the series, hasn't it, before? I've heard of that.
No, I haven't. I don't recall it.
I might have to Google that, you know. Carry on.
I read very positive reviews of the first two episodes, which were deliberately kept vague. Well, as Stephen Moffat asked them to be, didn't he? He said he didn't want too many spoilers being given away, which is only right.
No, yeah, it's true. I mean, that's the thing about, obviously, next week, listeners, we will be reviewing Impossible Astronaut. So if you haven't seen it, bear that in mind. If you haven't seen it, it's going to be spoilers, but we don't sort of generally announce spoilers. We just review stuff we've seen, but I understand that people in certain parts of the world won't have seen it.
Yeah.
So please bear that in mind. We're not going to apologise for spoiling it for people who haven't seen it, but it will be blatantly obvious that we are reviewing that particular story.
He continues, 2 more weeks, I can't wait. Well, actually, it's only now 5 days in Earth time. For the first time, I feel so much anticipation. This is the first time I've had internet to look up info about the series, and a lot of it is really just speculation. This all hyped me up. Yeah, that's the thing, though, isn't it? You look on the internet, and it is just people guessing.
That's the best thing. I really enjoy the guessing and the predictions, because I love it. As long as it's not actually fact and it's just people, trying to work it out, and obviously if you do work it out, you feel rather pleased with yourself in some ways. But I think it's nicer that they have these sort of ideas, and then it turns out everybody got it wrong.
I'm completely the opposite to that, because I have a very low tolerance of stupid people. And when people make some of the sweeping, ridiculous guesses about what's going on, like, you can't read a review, a watcher's review of anything that might be coming up, or preview, sorry, what's coming up in the new series, without hearing the words, Rani, the Rani's back. It was all about series 5. The Rani's going to be in it. The Rani's back. No, she's not. Let's get over that, shall we? And just stupid guesses like that just do my head.
Well, maybe silly guesses, yes, but it's all good fun.
And then,
because I'm going to be asking you your guesses or predictions for the new series soon.
Ah, well, I've got a great one. Apparently, the Rani's coming back.
Okay, you could be right, because it's supposed to be some what do you mean no?
Just no. Okay. If the Rani comes back during this next series, I'll eat this tissue that I've just...
So you've just done a complete U-turn on your prediction, then?
I was joking about that prediction, but I do have some things which I think... Anyway, shall
go on, continue.
Because, the new series starts in 5 days' time, and I wouldn't just be able to tell time it actually starts.
Oh, my phone's going.
Oh, God.
Hang on. Yes, Alicia? Yes?
Get me a library card.
No.
Because
I'm not at the library.
Can you get me one?
No. We're going to go around in circles at the moment. Because I'm not at the library.
Yeah, I know you're not at the library, but when you do go to the library, can you get me a library card?
Well, as I'm not planning to go to the library in the next millennia, no.
Why don't you suggest she goes to the library?
Pardon? Never mind, Alicia. No. Yeah. Why can't you go and get yourself a library card?
Because I don't know how to.
Well, how about going to the library and asking?
Do I want a book?
Yeah, that's where books are, in libraries.
Yeah, they might not be. They have films in there as well,
Yeah, try the library, Alicia. Bye.
No, don't hang up on me. No, don't hang up on me.
I'm trying to record a podcast, Alicia.
Oh, hello!
Hello!
Say hello.
Wow. Okay, right. Can I go now?
Can you go now? Yeah. Okay, but can you go and get me a library card?
No, get yourself a library card by taking your little self down to the library and asking for a library card. Goodbye! Right, there we go. Right. Where do we get up to?
Oh, God knows. Library card.
I didn't want all three of us on the podcast at the same time, but wasn't quite planning on it being that way.
Yeah, it hasn't happened for a while, has it?
No.
We got up to... I've noticed that Doctor Who magazine doesn't release much information before each series now, which is good. Also, someone noticed that in the last Weeping Angel episode, that the emblem on River and the cleric's outfit in the camouflage ones have a Greek Omega symbol on their arms, and this is another thing. Omega's coming back! Actually,
could be, though. Somebody else, I think... Yeah, Wendell, who was on the show earlier on via his little texting chatty thing on Facebook, his prediction was that Omega was coming back, but then he is from the Omega podcast, so maybe he's just trying to promote his own show, I don't know.
Well, I think there's a new character called the 20 Megabyte Doctor Who podcast that's turning up in series in the next series of Doctor Who. We'll have to wait and see. Anyway, he says they have a Greek Amiga symbol on their arms with the Roman numeral 2. Anything to do with Amiga, perhaps? I guess we'll just have to see. Keep up the good work. You always keep me laughing. All the best. Robert, thank you, Robert.
Thank you, Robert. Because once again, Robert, although I didn't actually ask for feedback last week, you have rather rescued our feedback section once again. So
maybe.
Because Reese Parton used to be the great podcast saviour, but now, and you did, of course, but now I think Robert is the great podcast saviour.
Maybe next time Robert emails into us, he should put himself on the email. Because obviously he's now as much part of the show as you and I are.
Well, he did appear on the show a couple of weeks ago, didn't he?
Yeah, well, he did.
Via his vocal cords. I have googled Resurrection Casket. It's actually a audio book and novel, Doctor Who novel.
At the moment.
Mm. So maybe they've adapted it.
Maybe.
Or the idea of it for something to do with the current series.
We talk about the new series for a bit now.
Yeah, I think that might be a good plan. But let's do the charts.
Oh, shall we do the charts first?
Yeah.
Okay, this week's chart at number 20, a re-entry for Travelling the Vortex. At 19, it's new for the Pandorica Alliance. At 18, a re-entry for the Untempered Schism. At 17, a re-entry for the Time Vault. At 16, brand new Raggedy Podcast. At 15, also new Box Room Podcast.
I'd love to know how these brand new... Well, not Box Room isn't a brand new podcast, but the previous one you mentioned, Raggedy Podcast, is brand new, and how it's managed to so quickly gain so many listeners. Fascinating, but carry on.
At 14, up 6, the Happiness Patrol... Oh, sorry, just Happiness Patrol. I wouldn't want to put a word in there.
That is the Happiness Patrol. I just forgot to type in the.
The. Good band. At 13, up 5, Ian Todd World. At 12, up 7, bigger on the inside. And at 11, a re-entry for the Ood cast.
And before you go into the top 10, it's nice to see the bigger on the inside rising up the charts rapidly. Hopefully that's part and parcel of my promoting them, because they are a particularly good show. And I'd probably put that down as my favourite other podcast.
I'd say it's definitely up there with my favourite other podcasts.
Yeah.
At number 10, a re-entry for the 2-Minute Time Lord. At number 9, up 2, Staggering Stories. And at number 8, my second favourite titled podcast, up 8, it's Bad Wilf. Number 7, a non-mover for the best podcast, the 20 Megabyte Doctor Who podcast. Number 6, somehow being listened to more than us, it's the podcast that never ends. At number 5, a re-entry for Doctor Who Review Today. At number 4, another re-entry, the Minute Doctor Who podcast.
Yay!
I've tried so hard to get that right this week. At number 3, up 2, it's the Flashing Blade. At number 2, up 2, is the DWO Who cast. And at number 1, up 3, I don't know how they thought of the name, it's the Doctor Who podcast.
Me.
Yeah, well done to them. Although
it's splendid. But notably by, obviously, certain podcasts haven't been released this week, Podshock and things like that. Anyway, yes, right. The new series.
Yeah, apparently there's a new series of Doctor Who started on today. Wish someone had told me. Mm-hmm. I've seen nothing to do with it, and it's all coming a bit of a surprise. Is David Tennant still the Doctor?
No, but he was on the Paul O'Grady show this week.
Now, do you mean Paul O'Grady, or do you mean...
Just testing.
Oh, do you mean Graham Norton?
That's the one. Similar, aren't they?
He was on with Catherine Tate, and from what I gathered, they didn't even mention the words Doctor or Who much.
Oh, really? I haven't seen it yet.
Well, it's on tonight again, so I'll be watching.
I think I Sky Plus'd it.
I don't think they mentioned doing anything.
But somehow we've managed to avoid talking about the new series again.
Yeah, all right, let's do series stuff. So, what have you... What have you seen? What have you heard?
I've seen most of the trailers. Obviously, there is a specific trailer for episode 1, The Impossible Astronaut, which obviously they now are actually publishing quite a lot of pictures of the Silence, the alien that now we know is called the Silence. So, that was hinted by several Doctor Who fans that this Silence could in fact be a species, and it's turned out that's obviously the case. It's a bit of a shame that has been rather spoiled, even though, you know, sometimes Doctor Who fans are right. What else have we seen? There's a clip from the the trailer for the whole series of the old style TARDIS console room with the corals and that. And it's a clip of Rory and couldn't quite make out who the other character was ducking down while this explosion, the orangey explosion is going on.
It looks like a regeneration thing, doesn't it?
It does. Now, is that, have they sort of managed to trip a time loop and whatever and gone back in time and ended up in the TARDIS when Tennant regenerates into Smith? I don't know. It could be a master regeneration. It could be any Time Lord, really, couldn't it? But that's something that I hope is in the first half of the series, not in the second half. Because I'm just hoping all these trailers we've seen are just for this half of the series.
I think they cover all 13 episodes. There's too much in the trailers, because there's four different trailers that I've seen now.
Yeah.
For the series, and there's too much in them to break down into just seven episodes. And also James Corden, I'm sure it's been said he doesn't appear until the second.
No, that's true. And also David Walliams. I've got my syllables round the wrong way there. Yeah, he doesn't appear to the latter part in the second half of the series.
David Walliams, yes. Yeah, so, what do you reckon the big fantastic we've got to split the series in half, even though I think they're only doing it for Torchwood, cliffhanger is going to be? Because from what I've seen from the trailers, it looks as though Amy shoots him.
Now,
that's what I've taken from it. Because there's a slight motion. Well, it's right at the end of the first minute promo that was released. She turns round in slow motion and then has a look of horror on her face as she's just done something. Now, you don't see her arm, you don't see a gun in her arm or anything like that. But the way she turns around, it's almost like, you know, she's got a weapon on her hand, she's turned around and someone's gone, boom, she's turned around and just shot them.
Yeah.
And I don't know, that seems to be the way I think it will go. But, you know, that's a little bit too much like...
The thing is, if you look at that bit, and there's always this been hint of that still Amy herself is a mysterious character, although obviously you see the wedding and you see her family and that, but she's still, there's always this hint that she's got some connection with River Song, whether River Song is her daughter or... Because the River's supposed to have killed someone, they're trying to imply it might be the Doctor, it could be Rory, you know, it could be a good man she's supposed to have killed, and the best she knew. So that just sort of adds to the little sort of pot of, ideas and mystery.
But if we can sit here and kind of know the little bits that we know and make educated guesses about what's going to happen, then actually happen, is that bad writing?
Because it's bad writing if we get it right, I think, perhaps. But
well, of course, yeah.
I think it's inevitable that some things will be guessed, but it doesn't happen. Not a lot of it does get guessed. Obviously, the idea of the silence being a species has been worked out, but that's only been confirmed now. But most of the stuff, even with the RTT era, you know, his the cliffhangers he put in, I can't remember anybody ever guessing it right.
Nobody ever saw the fake regeneration happening.
No, and that was brilliant, because it was never hinted at, and they kept that quiet. And that I loved that.
That was simply the best cliffhanger. That
if they could have carried it through and actually had the proper regeneration itself, like David Tennant not announcing he was leaving a year before and carried on playing the role, that was a big spoiler for me. I don't think it was really necessary for him to do that. I know it might have leaked out, but
of course it would have leaked out. It'd have been impossible for it not to have leaked out. Because, you know, as it was still, well, there was still a whole episode to go until the end of the series. People who turn up and watch Who being filmed would have seen a different actor playing Doctor Who.
I think what would have been nice, if they ever, obviously will do a regeneration in the future, if they have three or four candidates for the part, so obviously then you know one of those people are going to get it, and they film a regeneration with all of them, and then obviously there's going to be a gap, and then the episode of maybe a Christmas special will go out, and then they won't have to film the next episode until later on, you know what I mean? So they could actually have a mystery who is going to be the next Doctor among
and
these.
And what they could do is they could put the four candidates up. We'll say Christopher Biggins, Ronald Koeman, footballer, Maggie Thatcher, and of course David Tennant
and Joanna Lumley.
Joanna Lumley, obviously, will have fibre. Mm. And then what the BBC will do, well, they'll open up a phone line and you have to phone in or text in who you want to be Doctor Who.
Oh, well, obviously you wouldn't want to choose it, but maybe they could have a competition to raise money for a phone line thing, you know, raise money for
children. They can get Graham Norton to do a
and the winner gets a prize, drawn out of hell, obviously, or who Moffat has actually chosen, or whoever the producer has chosen to actually be the Doctor. But that way would be, you know, at least it'll be a mystery right up to the regeneration itself.
I was being silly, but yeah, the idea itself is wouldn't be a bad idea. But who's who? There you go. That's what
they
you
have in soap operas filmed alternative endings to things. So why not do it with the biggest, you know, cliffhanger they can have in probably the biggest TV series in Britain, doing it that way. But
so what do you reckon the back to the original question? What do you reckon the climax of the first?
I have no idea.
No,
I don't mean. I did try frame and framing the thing, but they jumbled them around so much.
Yeah,
you know, and I have not deliberately tried to avoid, you know, stuff going on, spoilers, genuine spoilers that people have sort of leaked out from filming and stuff like that. Obviously, because the show has episode 1 and 2 has already been shown in America in audience sort of, you know, auditoriums,
and also here.
So some people have seen it. So. Things will get around, but obviously it doesn't relate to your question about episode 7. Absolutely no idea.
No, I mean,
but I know it's going to be something you're going to think, oh, I mean, I've got to wait 5 months.
He said it's going to be the biggest cliffhanger.
Game changing, yeah.
Or something like that. So basically, it's got to revolve really around one of the main characters, one of the four.
It's probably going to be the Doctor, isn't it?
So obviously, you know, Doctor, Amy, River, and your mate Arthur, Rory.
Yeah.
So one of them's got to be involved in something. Now, if the talk of this resurrection casket is true, then, you know, it opens up all possibilities for everything.
Well, if it's a resurrection casket, that obviously implies that it brings something back to life, doesn't it?
Or someone, indeed.
Maybe that's how... Because obviously we see the introduction of River to a certain extent in this series.
As a companion.
At least... So maybe she's dead. Maybe.
So what's the whole River thing then? Because that's coming out this series. What's that all about, in your opinion? Is she mother, lover, brother?
I don't think she's mother. Alicia thinks that she's a member of the Doctor's family.
Right.
But there's always this thing as the Doctor would be able to smell another Time Lord, and certainly would be able to smell her being a Time Lord if she was. But she could be a Time Lord who has, you know, gone through the Chameleon Arch and not, you know, gone back into being a physical Time Lord, just sort of, you know, like the Doctor was in Human Nature.
Yeah, I think...
And there could be quite a few Time Lords around the universe like that. I'm surprised that, you know, the Doctor himself hasn't taken that into consideration.
I think that would be a rather weak thing.
You reckon?
Yeah, if they kind of just went, oh, she's a Time Lord too, but she did the same thing as you did 2 series ago. Oh.
Of course, we've got that sort of bit at the end of the story of the Doctor's daughter, where the Doctor's daughter dies, but she doesn't die, and she flies off in a spaceship at the end of the episode. They could bring... I mean, she probably will have the ability to regenerate. It could be that. Could be she's actually a Doctor's daughter, but then she's been in love with the Doctor, so that would be a bit...
Probably weird. Right. And also some of the kissing and clinching and looks that they've given each other.
No, obviously, I think I've got that one wrong then. But
if it does,
but how do Time Lords do that? Because the ancient Egyptians used to do that sort of inbreeding stuff.
I mean, are we completely missing the trick here that there's an episode called The Doctor's Wife?
Yeah.
Are we trying to not see the obvious there?
Do you think it is that obvious that she is in fact the Doctor's wife? It's been hinted at, hasn't it? That, you know, but then they've hinted it so heavily that it probably isn't.
That's the thing, they've hinted it so much, and they've tried to make you think, oh, it must be the Doctor's
wife. Don't you think that if they do hint it, and it turns out to be the case, that's quite disappointing?
Oh, massively, yeah. Because they basically said the first time you met her, almost, you know. As it's all the hello sweetie stuff. I mean, what it's got to be, you know, some kind of family relation or an old next door neighbour, something like that. Because, you know, I mean, the hello sweetie stuff.
Well, the other theories that have been bandied around is that she's in fact the Master's daughter. Now, I heard something very recently that John Sim could be coming back.
Yeah.
to play the master, which would be good.
I don't think in this series.
You don't think?
Who knows? I mean, he may turn up in the last couple of episodes, as no one knows. I mean, they're not going to stick it. If they want,
or maybe for the Christmas special, perhaps.
Well, if they want it to be the big twist in this series, they're not going to stick bits of him in the trailers, are they?
No.
You know,
well, they didn't
gonna,
last time, did they?
Well, exactly. So it may be something to do with the master, but I don't know. It just seems it's got to be someone who the Doctor knows. I mean, how if it's the master's daughter, just for example, how did he ever know the master's daughter?
Mm.
You know, she seems to be quite up on who he is.
Yeah. So, I'll tell you who I'd like it to be. I'd like it to be Romana.
No, see, again...
But it can't be. I wouldn't have thought she'd change her name. Unless she had to because of the timey-wimey stuff, you know, so as it didn't contaminate the Doctor's...
I don't want it to be an old character who's kind of gone, look at me, I've changed my face, here I am again.
Well, she wouldn't admit it, I don't. Maybe she's just... Like I say, she could be Romana, but having gone through the Chameleon Archer, she won't have any memory of herself being Romana, but she just had that link to the Doctor.
But how would she know everything about the Doctor, then?
True. Maybe she's got a copy of the Journal of Impossible Things. Oh no, that was a fiction. That wasn't fiction, was it? That Journal of Impossible Things.
Oh, well,
maybe. Oh, come here. Isabella? What's the matter?
I want Pringles.
You want Pringles? So you come and interrupt a very important and serious podcast about Doctor Who because you want some Pringles.
Yeah. Oh, no, Isabella.
Yeah. Right. It's going to fall out of your ear, by the way. Not the Pringle, the earphone.
Oh,
yeah. I want to have Pringles in the other room.
Yeah, right. I'm not giving you a whole tube.
Take it off.
Take what off?
This.
Okay, well, take the Pringle. I have that. You have that. Right, here we go. Yeah. Right, here we go. She's alright. She's happy. She's got Pringles.
Pringles.
Long. Yeah. So anyway, yeah, I will be quite pleased. I mean, it probably isn't, like I say, because I don't think any of the personally, my prediction is that all the predictions that I've heard about the series are going to be wrong.
Well, they normally are. Yeah. I mean, I always go back to when it's the end of the first Christopher Eccleston, well, the only Christopher Eccleston series, with the brilliant cliffhanger in between the last two episodes of that one, where I scoured the internet for the whole of that week trying to find clues as to what was happening.
I just like listening to people's ideas. And then listen the following week to see them say, oh, God, I got it wrong, sort of thing. It's just interesting to see the diversity of ideas and you know, because obviously it's just somebody's written it and somebody's... You know, that's what I love about Doctor Who, and it's something that, you know, is new and is coming up, that people do have these sort of what's the word for not ideas? Theories.
As I say, I don't like all this, you know, as you just did then, might be Romana, Omega. It could be, you know, Rani. It could I don't like that. That's people hanging on to.
So it could be something. You reckon it's going to be something brand new? That
yeah.
You know, but they've already said that there is going to be the return of a classic series villain or classic series character.
I totally missed that. When was that?
Oh dear, did I spoil that for you?
Oh, I didn't see or hear anything.
I don't know if Moffat admitted it or what, but it has been confirmed that a classic, unless it's the Daleks again, I hope not, but it's a previously unseen classic series character.
Well, the Daleks are going to be in this series some.
You reckon?
Because they've got the new redesigned ones, and they won't redesign them for that last 15 minutes of one episode two series ago, which would have been the last series, I suppose, but I think they'll have to be in it at some point.
Yeah, I hope not, though.
You know,
obviously, they've confirmed the Cybermen. Maybe it's the Cybermen.
Maybe it's the Sontarans.
Maybe it's the classic series-style Cybermen. Instead of the Cybus ones, what do they call them?
But, maybe it's, Robert said in his email, maybe it's the Sontarans.
Yeah, but they've already been brought back. I think they were implying it was a classic sort of character who they haven't yet resurrected.
Oh, and now I've just been clicking around the internet and there's a story that appeared at 9:15 this morning.
Yes.
On a website. Just read it out for you. It says Doctor Who finally returns to our screens this weekend, and we've got a batch of teasers and other special features to celebrate, including video interviews with the main cast. Blah blah blah. Basically, the title of this article is Doctor Who Will Die. We're not lying. We're not cheating. One of these four people is going to die. Showrunner Stephen Moffat told Doctor Who magazine after talking about the four main members of his cast. The Doctor himself, companion Amy, the mysterious River Song, and the good old Rory Williams.
Yes, but River's already died, so that narrows that down somehow, doesn't it? Although she can be brought back with science fiction stuff, she could easily be brought back somehow.
But, well, of course she can, because, well, we saw her die.
Yeah.
At the end of Silence in the Library and the other one.
Yeah.
So, you know,
Means it's going to be, well, it's not going to be the Doctor. There wasn't much of a TV series, and they've already confirmed that Smith's staying on the series, unless that was a, you know.
No, it's not the Doctor. So maybe my shooting theory is correct, but Amy shoots Rory, but he's already died.
That would pay back, wouldn't it? Because Rory shot Amy at the end of the last series.
How many times are they going to shoot each other? Anyway, he continues, we've lived through enough Doctor Who deaths in our time to know that death isn't always what it seems when you travel with the Doctor. But we've been assured that the Moffat is a man of his word in this case. We're not lying, the magazine squealed to Twitter.
That's going to be the game-changing cliffhanger then, isn't it? That somebody, at the end of it, somebody will die, and then that's it. That's the game-changing.
Well, I'm pretty sure from what I've seen, and I know I'm doing what I hate other people. You know, it does look like Amy's turned around and done something to someone, and then goes, oh, gets a bit of a shock look. And if it's not the Doctor, it will clearly be Arthur.
Which is a shame, because I like, they keep on killing, there's a film, they keep killing the first episode of Tortured, where the woman who's the baddie, part of the Tortured team, will enable Gwen to get into it, she gets killed, and they bring her back later on in the series, but they keep trying to kill her, but she doesn't die, that's called They Keep Killing Susie, that's it, Susie, so, but they do keep killing Rory.
Oh. Anyway,
totally irrelevant. I do apologise. Do go on.
Moffat continues.
At least there's a better way back, probably for some more Pringles.
One of those characters properly dies.
There you go. More Pringles. Oh, you just dropped one. Come on. Right, sorry, Ben.
There we go. As I said, we're not lying. One of those characters properly dies in capital letters in episode one. Rory, of course, has died
episode
already.
Episode one.
Yeah. Rory, of course, has already died, perishing in Amy's arms, saving the Doctor in cold blood. River passed away in Series 4's Forest of Dead, while bringing back the 4,022 people, saving the computer's library. There was tabloid rumours of Pond's demise doing the rounds last year, though they predicted a mid-season exit, and the Doctor, well, he's already carked it probably 10 times, not counting the occasions he's weaselled out of it somehow. All of those things considered, who do you think will die when Doctor Who returns to our screens for his Dark Series opener on Saturday?
Yes, but Ben, you know, I was talking about that scene within the old TARDIS, where we saw the explosion. Rory was in that scene. So that implies, if it's going to be Rory, that's going to be in the first episode, or for just the first story? Or either, I suppose it's the same, isn't it, really?
Well, the first story.
Because the first story is a two-parter.
But it did say, hold on, I will confirm what it says. It will say one of them properly dies in episode one.
And it can't be Amy because, spoilers, I sound like the Pharos Project. We've seen clips from episode 9 of a pirating story in which she's a swashbuckling Amy.
Well, yeah, but we've seen all of them in it apart from River Song, so unless they
sort out... If they properly die, it doesn't mean to say they don't properly come back to life with the resurrection casket which we previously mentioned.
Well, of course, you know, it could be the fact that River Song dies in episode 1 and comes back in episode 7 or episode 6 or something.
Because it's a wibbly wobbly, but how would that work again, resurrection casket? I don't know, it's weird. I don't know how that can work. They can't kill the Doctor, unless it is a Doctor, and the what we see then, because there's an episode called Gangers, isn't there? Mm. That in fact the Doctor is not actually the Doctor, he's a doppelganger for the rest of the series.
I just hope it doesn't turn out to be, you know, poor.
Mm.
I hope it doesn't turn out to be really stupid. And yeah. Kind of like someone gets shot and then, oh God, they're dead, oh, and then 15 minutes later they bring him back to life when they fail.
Yeah, but the trouble is, I like all four characters involved in that scenario. And like I say, the River Song dying doesn't make sense because she's already died. And that, you know, we're meeting her, she's meeting the Doctor at an earlier point, unless the other theory with that is it's the real River Song that dies, and maybe the other River Song we've been seeing is a doppelganger or something like that.
That would just be getting really stupid.
Yeah, it gets too confusing, doesn't it?
They don't generally. Well, Russell T. Davies didn't do stuff like that, really. Whether Stephen Moffat's going to, go off on that tangent of making it stupid Who, then we have to wait and see. But I hope not. It should be just. What I'm trying to say is, we know one of them dies, and then basically, because we've seen the series trailer and they're in it all the way through it, apart from River Song, who we've only seen in the first one or two, I suppose, she's, as you've just said, already been killed once.
Well, then Rory's already been killed twice.
Well, yeah, they're going to have to be brought back to life again. Yeah. And it starts losing its intensity.
It's annoying.
Dying, if they can just
bring him
press
back.
The reset button. Mm. Reset button and bring them back to life every 20 minutes.
Yeah, I agree with you. I hope it's not. I hope they make it good.
Well, make it good
and not frustrating. Oh God, they're going to bring so and so back. I was quite pleased they brought Rory back, but it did rather, on second viewing when you watch the Hungry Earth story, when he gets sort of he's dead and he gets Amy's all sort of fighting back the tears because she wants to remember him, then she's forgotten him. When then a couple of episodes later, he's back as a Roman Auton, and he's Rory, and he's back, and they get married, blah de blah. It's sort of rather,
It demeans it.
Yes, that's the words I was looking for.
Demeans it.
So yeah, you're right. I wish I hadn't heard that bit there, because that's the sort you're going to wait to think, oh, who's going to die? Oh, it's them. Oh, how can that be? Yeah, you're going to be wondering how they're going to work it into the storyline and whatever. But you're going to think, I already knew that was going to happen.
Well, that's the other thing, because what we mentioned about half an hour ago now was the fact that Moffat said that he didn't want any spoilers leaking out, but himself
leaked
a spoiler that someone died in the episode.
Spoilsport.
So, six of one, half a dozen the other, all together or not at all there, Mr. Moffat. You can't tell people not to...
Just keep your gob shut and let people watch the series.
Oh yeah, you can't tell people not to release spoilers about an episode that you're letting them see early and then do it yourself.
Yeah.
What's that? He's trying to play God with such a character.
Well, so to sum up, really looking forward to it.
Oh, massively, yeah. The only thing I'm not looking forward to is a 6 o'clock start time.
No, it's a pain, isn't it? It's all right for me to a certain degree, because I finish work at 3 on a Saturday, so it's sort of semi-feasible. I can watch it, although Alicia's reminded me this week she might be at a rehearsal for the show she's going to be doing from May till July, a dance show. So I might be in Shanklin. However, I can still watch it on my little portable telly thing. But as I watched the Amy's Choice. I watched that in the car on my iPhone, and I didn't enjoy it when I watched. I thought it was a rubbish episode, and then I went home and watched it on the telly and thought it was absolutely brilliant. So it might impact on how I feel. But I will do it. I will watch it, but then, of course, then I'll watch it again later. But I'll try and review my first opinions on it until I've watched it a second time at home on the big screen.
Yeah, I mean, so I'm not going to get to watch it until much later in the evening because the wife doesn't like it, really, and she's not going to let me sit there and watch it until 6 o'clock in the evening. And also, my four-year-old, 85, might find it a little bit more scary than
yours. Yeah, that's the thing. I don't think there's going to be many episodes this series that Isabella's going to be able to watch, certainly not the first story.
It will be a case of... But good news is, I've just checked... At least Man United are kicking off at lunchtime, so there's not going to be an evening kickoff fixture contamination there. But, I'm looking forward to it.
Yeah.
It's always exciting having a new series of Doctor Who turning up on your screens, and you just hope it doesn't let you down in the ways that we've just discussed.
Exactly. Very good point.
But, so, this time next week.
We have plenty to talk about, and I don't have to do the randomizer. We'll be talking about the Impossible Astronaut, and... Well, I'll have you do it because I'll do a bit with Alicia, then I'll have to come back to it and probably repeat myself talking to you. But it doesn't matter because that's what we're talking about next week, obviously. Mm-hmm. Plus the usual features of charts and eBay and all that stuff. But mainly, as far as Doctor Who goes, it's Impossible Planet. And of course, we'll be looking forward to the next episode, something to do with the moon. I can't remember what it's called. Anyway, right, yes. Email. Yes, we haven't had too much on the line of feedback over the last couple of weeks, so if that could be rectified, listeners, that would be fantastic.
And of course, if you watch the new episode by the time we record the podcast, which is basically the Monday after the Saturday is on, so...
Please send in your opinions, audio or email, please.
Really, really like... And also, on the other things we've just discussed about, what you think may happen in this series, but if they are too stupid, I'm not going to read them out, because I will just get annoyed.
I'll make him stupid.
Don't tell me the Ronnie's coming back.
Yeah, don't get him annoyed, as that bloke found at Thorpe Park. It's not a good idea.
Seriously. You can't throw me out of the podcast. There aren't any birdie security bouncers here at the moment.
And you can do so by sending us emails or audio via email to
20mb.feedback@gmail.com.
That's the one. Or the word 20, the word Meg, the word feedback @hotmail.co.uk. Of course, we have our Facebook group. A lot of people like to deposit messages via the group.
Which would be a really good way of actually letting us know a quick review of what you think.
And that's the 20 megabyte Doctor Who podcast. We have 97 members now, so it's edging towards the
100.
Yeah, very close, not quite there yet. You can add us as a friend on Facebook and send a direct message that way, as Robert Haynes does. Or you can add me on Facebook. You can try and add Ben, who'd probably bounce you.
I didn't, Robert, actually.
You didn't?
Robert wants to be my friend.
Oh, Robert is well privileged.
Yeah, he is. He's the only one.
Yeah. Or via the website, the 20 megabyte Doctor Who podcast.podbean.com, and that's no W's, it's the 20 megabyte Doctor Who podcast.podbean.com. There's a comment facility on there and a messaging facility on there. And you can find us, of course, on the Doctor Who Podcast Alliance website, where all the other podcasts that I mentioned Ben mentioned in relation to the charts, because obviously that is where all those podcasts initially appear before they get put in a list and then sorted out into their order. It's called the charts, and it's the DWPA charts, because it's only Doctor Who Podcast Alliance shows that actually entered into it.
And if you download us off iTunes, then obviously make sure you give us our 5-star rating that we so deserve.
Please. Yes, that'll boost us up the charts as well.
Exactly. You know, we want to be... I want to be at least, what were we this week? Number 7. Yeah. So I'd like to be, at least number 3.
Yeah.
So 5-star ratings, please. I mean, even if you think that what we talk about is utter...
Well, there's guarantee it's utter drivel, but apparently it's entertaining.
Even if you agree what we talk about is utter drivel.
So, now I can say, next week, I can't wait.
Yes, no, neither can I. It'll be very good.
Yeah, splendid. Right. And that rather concludes this week's episode of the 20 Megabyte Doctor Who podcast.
The 7th best listened to podcast to do with Doctor Who in this week's chart.
And I've got a hell of a lot of editing. It's going to be a long show either way this way, but I've got a hell of a lot of editing to do, and thank goodness I've got the time to do it. See you next week, Ben.
Bye-bye, Adam.
Bye-bye, everybody.
Podgrammers.
Podgrammers. Bye. Not quite it, because I nearly forgot something. Before we go, obviously, with the news coming through that a character, one of the 4 main characters, was going to be killed off in the first episode of the new series coming up on the 23rd of April, BBC One, 6 p.m, my prediction is in fact the Doctor, but not necessarily the 11th Doctor. That's my prediction. Now, do you remember when we were in Blackpool, Isabella, and we went into a certain shop? Do you remember?
A T-shirt.
Yeah. Do you remember looking around the shop and looking at everything in there? You're supposed to say yes rather
yes.
than...
Yes!
Right. Well, listeners, to conclude this episode of the 20 Megabyte Podcast, I'm going to play you the recording of Isabella and I's tour around Who Blackpool. And from that, I say, see you next week. Bye-bye.
Goodbye!
Right then, Isabella, where are we?
I'm at the Doctor Who store.
And what have we got here on this corner?
I don't know.
No, you don't know. It's all Doctor Who things, isn't it? What do you think of this stuff then?
Very scary.
Very scary? Okay. We've got some old Doctor Who DVD videos in, with VHS videos here.
Yeah.
And around this bit, what's this lot? That's Primeval.
Yes, I know.
Right, Primeval. Transformers.
Go up there.
More Doctor Who DVDs. What else have we got? Books. Come here.
I want to go that way.
No, we're not going. There's nothing that way, darling.
I want to go upstairs.
You want to go upstairs?
Hey, Thunderbird.
We've got magazines, haven't we?
So look.
Can we have a look upstairs in a minute? We've got Pirates of the Caribbean.
And
what's all this stuff? All this sleeve stuff. No, that's not Superman, that's Star Trek. This is all the Star Trek section.
And Batman.
Big Star Trek section. Batman, yes, right, yes, well done.
And Spider-Man.
Spider-Man. Matrix.
Yes.
King Kong.
Yeah.
Indiana Jones.
Yeah.
Come here. Princess Bride. What else we got? Yeah. You're going the wrong way, I'm going off this way. The Twilight stuff. Star Wars. More Star Wars. Oh, what's this round here? Even more Star Wars. Massive Star Wars section.
Oh.
Cool. Right then, what else we got? Oh, we got Dave.
Hey.
That one.
Toy Story 3. Toy Story 3, right here. More Doctor Who stuff. So, face of Bo.
Maria.
Yeah. Down the steps. Mind just carefully down the steps. What's this here, look? Who's this? Who's this?
Who like a dog?
That's Marmaduke.
Marmaduke.
Yeah. What, football figures?
Yeah.
T-shirts?
Yeah. Batman again. Star Wars.
Star Wars. There's 24. James Bond.
Who's scary?
Fantastic Four. More Doctor Who stuff.
Batman. Superman. Spider-Man again.
Very nice, Spider-Man.
Yeah.
What's this over here, look? I haven't seen this one before. It's the Doctor, Ninth Doctor with the removable jacket. I've seen that one before, have you? Yeah. Right, okay. There's another Spider-Man. More Doctor Who videos. Michael Jackson.
Princess.
Princess stuff, too. Battlestar Galactica.
What's scary. This lot?
Scary, look. Dragon Ball and Heroes.
Yeah, I know. Come on.
More Star Wars. That's about it then, isn't it?
Marmaduke. I like Marmaduke.
You like Marmaduke?
Mummy, I didn't have a look.
You haven't had a look at what?
This one.
You've just been down there.
I didn't.
That's a great big stand-up hood.
What is it?
It's a stand-up hood. Oh, you like this? You like the Spider-Man? You like the Spider-Man, dear?
Oh, look.
What?
Look.
What's that? Well, don't touch it, please.
Happy.
Right. I think we better get going, don't we?
Come on.
Oh, look. It's a classic series Enterprise. I want one of them.
I want to have a look. BBC, no copyright, infringement intended.